Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello there.
And Ash Millman.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about all things Elder Scrolls 6, because it's definitely a ways off, but it seems to be one of the only things that might be able to resurrect or save Bethesda's current situation, reputation-wise, business-wise, all the different wise things. What do you guys think of Elder Scrolls in general, and are you looking forward to 6 after the madness that was Fallout 76?
Yes.
Good.
Holding out faith. Honestly, I think Fallout 76 was a misstep. So because the logic is that because they have made a terrible mistake and done something that they should not have done, that they will now go, whoa, let's take it back to the things that we know are going to work, we know are going to be amazing, and do it for Elder Scrolls 6.
Did you play Elder Scrolls Online very much?
I've dabbled in it. I haven't played it like extensively. Mm-hmm.
Saw the cool little CGI films that they did. They were neat.
Yeah. They were cool.
They were good.
Because I was kind of curious. I mean, I know it wasn't Bethesda. I know it was ZeniMax that did Scrolls Online. But you'd assume that because Scrolls Online finally managed to save itself a bit, had a bit of a weird launch, and then came back again. If 76 had gone a different direction, then maybe we might have seen something else more in that vein for a full-on next installment.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, because I have always preferred Elder Scrolls to Fallout, that's just kind of how I am.
Same.
But I always like the idea of potentially having an Elder Scrolls on the horizon where you could hop into the world that someone else is role-playing in, so you could like go and see how their world differ to yours, just like a temporary, kind of how it was like in the Fable games, where you could hop into someone else's world and just screw around for a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of like any sort of multiplayer focused Bethesda game, because again, that's why I didn't check out 76, and presumably they're not going to do it for Elder Scrolls 6 either, because you know the 76 just did thing, and it was a bad thing. We don't want the bad thing to happen again. So I don't want them to be put off the concept of online forever, because I would quite like to, you know, hop into someone else's world and be like, oh, you did that's a bit bad, innit, and then just come back to mine, look how cool my place is, and then, you know, do that. But
giant building thing, because the Skyrim's like extra DLC had that stuff, like there's a hearth fire where you could build your own houses and stuff.
Hearthstone
is the card training. I always get those confused as well. I'm pretty sure it's hearth fire. There is a hearth. You can make a hearth. You can, you know, do whatever you want with a hearth. And in Skyrim, they seem to go down that sort of more survival route and like living in the world. And I wonder how much that's the natural extension of where the franchise was going anyway. Mm-hmm. Like you think about one of the things that Elder Scrolls excels in, letting you choose all these different ways that you want to play, all these different professions that you can have. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think in terms of like, do they take any influence from something like The Witcher that's more like focused on the combat side of it, or a specific role that you need to play?
The thing is, for Skyrim, I did not bother with the story at all. I had one playthrough where I had the whole thing where I was like, no, I had like one playthrough where I was like, okay, I'm going to be the dragonborn, I'm going to do all this stuff. But pretty much every time that I played Skyrim and the save that I had the most hours on, I was just making my own little story in my head, doing my own little nerd stuff, you know, being like, oh, I'm this elf that's come over from yonder, and now I'm going to be a vampire hunter with the Dawn Guard. Ain't that fascinating? And then that kind of the whole role playing aspect is what really draws me in those games. Cool. I know it's a bit silly, but whatever.
No, that's my point. Yeah. I think that they offer so much down that route that you don't even really need a story.
So if they're going to improve on anything, I will say that the combat needs sorting, because there's nothing more weird than playing Skyrim and using a sword or whatever, and then just hacking against this guy. It's just, well, this is doing damage apparently. Apparently, I can hear. I can hear some slashing noises, but his limbs are there.
Everyone's animations just keep going.
And the games have, I think they're like 16 or 18 rated anyway. So why don't they just go all in and just have dismemberment like Fallout does? Yeah. I mean, it's not. It's
well,
yeah.
They did
satisfy my bloodlust.
You did that in Skyrim. Yeah.
They did the cool thing where you could do critical hits and chop people's heads off, which was good. More of that would be good because you can upgrade the blood levels and stuff. Nice. You know, some of the mods. But yeah, more of that would be good. I think everyone's dream would be Elder Scrolls CD Projekt Red style, but we aren't going to get that.
So that's the thing. I mean, I wonder what their split's going to be in terms of, like, you know, defined story focus versus just playing fully into the things that they've teased, the more survivable elements or the idea of, you know, the side stuff being the big draw.
Yeah, it's really silly because, again, for Skyrim, I'm just proving everyone here how much of a sad nerd I am, but I really got into the medicine-y thing, what's it called? The medicine stuff. You could create your own medicine. You create your own poisons.
Alchemy.
Well, I really got into the alchemy of things. I was like, I'm a guy who's from yonder, and I hunt vampires, and I also make my own poison arrows. How cool is
that?
So that would be really cool. But then again, the whole there were different elements of the combat as well that are really frustrating.
Yeah. I always think with any open world game, they always have a problem trying to design, like, a story with propulsion, but also something that has enough of a gap for you to go off and do whatever you want. Like, one of the biggest examples in that regard for me is always Mass Effect 3, because it's like, hey, the Earth is literally burning. Like, you have no time to go do side stuff. You need to go save the Earth. Whereas, like, Scrolls, it was just like dragon invasion's happening, and you can get around to it whenever you want.
You can check it out if you want.
You can check it out if you want.
No pressure.
Go high Hrothgar and all that kind of thing. So there are, like, some things that are confirmed for Elder Scrolls 6. Like, the vast majority is just kind of up in the air because obviously they're still putting it together. But Todd Howard said that they will still be using the same engine that Fallout 76 and Skyrim were on.
The creation engine.
And so he said that one of the reasons that they wanted to keep it is that the modders are obviously very comfortable with it and they like using it as well.
That's just crap though, isn't it?
It's a little bit crappy.
We're not going to create a new engine because our community will make a better one for
that's
us.
There were mods that came out after both Skyrim and Fallout 4 that were literally like, we've fixed the bugs. It's a point where I think Bethesda are running out of goodwill. And I'm not saying that, you know, they are their own studio. They don't have to, like, change their engine or whatever. But there comes a point where innovation has to be, you know, it has to come.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, even the most ardent of, like, Elder Scrolls fans or Fallout fans, are probably a little bit bored by the whole engine. Like, it's had its uses and it's definitely versatile. But I think it's high time that if we're going to have an Elder Scrolls game that is on the next gen, if it is going to be on the next gen, then it should. Then we should be able to enjoy it without the crappy bugs, because
a whole new experience with a different engine would just be nice. Something new to learn, something new to see for modders as well. I imagine, as I am not a modder, it's still nice learning new things and being able to mess with something new, especially if it comes with a load of upgrades and it needs, like, a graphical overhaul for, like, faces and stuff.
Well, in terms of, like, facial animation, I mean, you know, like, Bethesda and especially the Scrolls series is, like, one of the premier RPG franchises. And yet you look at, I mean, I think Skyrim's aged pretty well, especially the HD re-release, like, especially on the texture level and everything. But it's like, if you're going to have a game that's centered around different interactions with, like, you know, different races and humans and all that kind of thing, then that should have the best facial animation. It should have the best cloth physics.
Argonian going, rah, rah,
yeah, rah, getting catapulted into the clouds because you touched some guy too close.
I love how that happened every single time I ran into a giant. It was always like, 90 feet in the air, good.
That's another topic, just quickly, is how much do you think the jank and the bugs is part of the Elder Scrolls appeal? Or do you think how much of it is part of, because a lot of people go, Bethesda, you little scamps, this other game will fall apart.
Oh, you Bethesda.
Yeah.
That was me for so long, I think I agree. I was both like, the bugs, it's part of the charm, you know, you're going to get it. But, like, after Fallout 76 and, like, actually investing in playing that a bit, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, it's one too many now. Like, it's just taking the
immersion?
I don't know what the word for piss is that I can say on a podcast.
You could say piss.
You could have said peanuts. You could have said pizzazz.
Piss is fine, isn't it?
Piss, fine. We'll find out. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is are we at a state now where the vast majority of games, especially in the AAA space, are so polished, the likes of God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter, whatever, they come with an assumed level of polish that Bethesda never really seemed to prioritize. And that was something that, like you said, the modders kind of pick up the slack.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much they just don't seem to allocate their funds to, you know, go over and over something on a quality testing level. They're like, we'll put it out and the mod community will fix it. And obviously they've never literally said that, but that's
that
how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, it's kind of something like that where, I don't know, I kind of wonder as to what kind of state Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be in, because they could really do with an overhaul.
I just really hope, because obviously Starfield's got to come first, which I assume we'll get to. But
that's also, well, actually, that's a great pivot, because that also is using the same engine again.
Oh, is it as well?
Yeah.
See, this is a problem. But I feel like at least... there's two parts to this, because it's like, Starfield is a whole new IP. It should be, like, really amazing. It should be something brand new. It should bring all these things together that we haven't seen before from a Bethesda title. But also, the nerd, like, for Elder Scrolls in me is going, just use it as, like, a testing ground. Just use it. Like, try all your mistakes.
It's not as important.
Yeah, make that a horrible
that
mistake.
That can be the lamb to sacrifice.
Yeah, and then come back and learn everything from it and put it good into the Elder Scrolls. But I don't know, I'm excited for Starfield as well, because all of the things that it's supposed to link into.
I want to be, but I think my base problem with Bethesda is on that sheer technical level where I just don't... They haven't done a polished game ever. And like, well, not like in like a full, if you think of something like I said, like a God of War or a Spider-Man, the level of polish that goes into those games, and Overwatch or whatever, even something like Apex Legends, like Bethesda just don't prioritize that stuff during development. And so like, I don't have, like, I look at something like The Outer Worlds, like Obsidian's new one, and that's nigh on them, like, you know, satisfying the Fallout crowd and the potential Starfield crowd all at once. And I'm like, how can the hell Bethesda even come up against that?
Yeah, I mean, there's the weird thing with Bethesda as well is that it's not only just like the quirky bugs that we associate with them. Like, if you recall, Skyrim was unplayable on the PlayStation 3 for God knows how long. Months, like, it shipped unplayable, and that was just like, eh, fine, you know, whatever.
To quickly describe that bug, apparently, whenever you saved on the PS3 version, it made the file kept making the save file bigger and bigger until the game just bricked and wouldn't load.
Yeah, like the frame rate would like stagger really badly as well. It's a really frustrating thing. I don't want to get bogged down on like the buggy side of it too much, because there is so much. Obviously, we all love the series, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. But yeah, there are certain things I want to say. I kind of want the sneaking mechanic to change, because I remember in Skyrim you could just sneak, and then it got to the point where you were such a high level sneaker, I could literally do this. And you would not see that. It would be like the worst thing ever. So if they could change that,
I do think stealth could do with like an overhaul. Like one of the only RPGs that has like as much like a massive sense of scope that did stealth well, I thought, was Kingdoms of Amalur. I don't know if you guys played that.
I've seen
Amalur. Yeah,
Amalur. And in that one, you know, if you specialize in stealth, you're literally, you've got a good crouching animation. You're kind of doing dodge rolls, and you're doing like specific crits if you sneak up on people. And I know Scrolls has that, but it's always been this weird, arbitrary like approach to it where
it's so broken really as well. Because when you do stealth, you limit yourself to so many different combat encounters, so you'll just be there and you get the bonus damage as well. And like, when you get really good bows, it's literally like you just sneak and then you can just go and then you get them. And it's kind of like, I enjoy playing stealthily, so when I get that, it kind of robs me of the challenge. Like, I would like the AI to be a little bit more clever. I know these games are so massive, so something has to give, but I think when you rely so heavily on combat, every different tree in that skill tree, the tree of life, should be taken into account.
I think that's a good point as well, because we mentioned combat before, but I wonder, because you know, you think of Skyrim, you think of Scrolls as combat, it's very flail heavy, it's very like, this animation is going to play out regardless of anything, like you can block, but it doesn't really, for me it never felt like, especially like tactile or whatever. And I wonder, in a post Dark Souls boom world, do they have to go back to the foundations and you know, make like a whole new combat system?
Do you mean like make it more difficult or make it more realistic?
Kind of both,
because Dark Souls had its problem as well, didn't it, with combat. I think it was 3 that had the flippy enemy thing where you just lock onto you. Yeah, and so had some combat issues.
Maybe Forerunner would be a good place to look at a basis.
Forerunner,
I think,
totally
the point that I want is that I know that in Skyrim you had different scythe weapons, so you had your heavy attacks where you couldn't do light stuff, and then you had, if you had a light weapon, you could have a shield or you could dual wield or whatever. That all needs to be fleshed out. But in like a game like Forerunner, each enemy kind of has its own unique thing. Whenever you get into a fight, it's less I'm just going and actually like taking my time to look at when they're going to attack, when I have to parry, when I have to dodge. And a game like Skyrim, which is, you know, swords and shields, it should have an element of, you know, genuine challenge to the combat, apart from, oh, got to guzzle down these 40 cheese wheels to escape these dragons, you know what I mean?
It's worth talking about the inventory stuff as well, because I went back through Skyrim when I got the definitive edition and like just randomly picked a direction, went off and went down into some cave and came up against like, this big like fire demon thing, like a fire summon elemental, whatever you call it. And it was just, it just did so much damage. It was in like 2 hits, I was just dead. And yeah, I was forever just like, excuse me, pausing, scrolling down and then just finding like potion, take that, back to gameplay, attack once, get hit, half my life goes down, pause, back to the potion. Yeah. Just the most weirdly obtuse way of like kind of healing. And I think it could do with like an inventory overhaul as well. Stuff like that.
I think they should take away the like pause time thing on the inventory menus. Like, just when you're in combat, like it should be, I think all games should have it though, where it's still a live game when you've got an inventory up, because you wouldn't just go into battle, go, hang on.
Yeah, give me a sec.
Let me have my potion.
Let me get my cheese wheels out. wasn't.
I think, let me poison my sword for a few minutes.
It was just such a weird way for them to go. Like, I mean, obviously, like 76 got rid of the idea of pausing for VAT altogether. And I remember in Skyrim, like back at launch, it was like a weird little secret shared amongst people that you could hotkey the directional buttons.
Oh, the quick menu.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if you hold left when you're in the menu, you'll assign it to like left or right.
But even
like,
then, you're still pausing the game in combat when you go into those quick assigned things. Like, if you press up on the D-pad or whatever, you equip your shield or whatever, you know, it's still very, you know, clunky.
Yeah, it's clunky.
Lacks rhythm, and it's very frustrating.
That's the thing that, like, is a double-edged sword, I guess, for Bethesda, because that clunk is almost what makes them identifiable. It's like, oh, it's a Bethesda RPG. It's going to be, like, you know, like...
Well, clunk and bugs.
I mean, I honestly, that's the thing that I think of, though. Yeah. I think back on Skyrim, I think of the glitches that got everywhere. Yeah. Like, I think of, you know, the giants launching sheep across the landscape or whatever it was. And I wonder, like, how much they have to do with the foundations to get away from that.
Yeah, but the daft thing is, even with all those glitches, there was never a point in Skyrim where I wasn't completely engrossed in the mythology of the world. Like, I was constantly coming back and being like, yeah, this is where I live now. This is pretty good. Yeah. I've come from yonder. I now live in Skyrim.
You know what I mean? Like a dragon, like, glitching halfway through a mountain. Yeah. What a sight.
Do you guys think you noticed that stuff as much back then? Because I don't think that I did. I think it's just that as the industry's got more, like, I don't know, tech-focused 4K, like, you know, polished products, we look back on it and we're like, man, that dragon's flying backwards. But I didn't even care
there was never a point in Skyrim where I felt as though the glitches impeded my enjoyment or maybe me kind of take a step back and look and go, oh god, this is really annoying, because like there was the element of charm to it as well, but there was never a point in it where I was just like, oh, this is just stupid, because I could deal with it, because you have to reconcile with the expansive nature of the game. Like, it's so huge. And not only is it so huge, there is stuff in there that you'll keep on finding hundreds and hundreds of hours into your game. And I know those quests are repetitive in certain, you know, ways, but I guess, is that the price we have to pay for a Bethesda Elder Scrolls game?
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Does The Expanse necessitate some of the old buggy bug bug?
Yeah, for the longest time, that was the trade-off. It was like, well, we've got this massive, like, you know, potentially, because there's so many, like, there's so many cogs moving at any given time when you're moving through an Elder Scrolls world. And that was always the assumption, was like, well, if you want this level of freedom and exploration and everything, then it has to be this buggy. And then The Witcher 3 came along and said, actually, no, it doesn't. And we can just, like, we can have a polished open world. I mean, Witcher 3 had a pretty rough launch, like, in terms of, there's so many patches applied to that game, like, over time. But I think CDPR, like, proved that you could do something that big. With a different level of polish and a different level of, like, you know, graphical quality or whatever that doesn't really feel to be that it's in Scrolls. So another thing that's kind of confirmed, me and Ash did a video back when the Scrolls teaser first came out, where we tried to pick out where it's going to take place.
Yeah.
And it's nigh on been confirmed now that it's Hammerfell, just because the evidence points to it so blatantly. So you've got, like, these, there's these three outcrops of land on the shoreline that match up with where the map is, if you look at Tamriel. And there's a big old crater in the ground, which would assumedly be the crater left behind by the dude's name, Azra Nightwielder, who was a mage who blew some stuff up and left a big old crater in the ground.
Was it near Breton or the High Rock as well? Or was it just near Hammerfell?
High Rock and Hammerfell. Oh, cool. Yes, yeah, so across the sea.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, so that's really cool because, like, I remember, like, playing Skyrim and being really fascinated by the Hammerfell, the pirates.
I thought that was
really interesting. There was a whole element at play there. I would love to see how, if this is going to pick up on the threads left behind by Skyrim, because I know with each Elder Scrolls game, they've kind of really, you know, jumped in different eras. I was really intrigued by the whole political context of, like, the Eldmeri Dominion and the elves invading everywhere. So if you could get more of that in that scenario, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, there was it kind of escapes me a little bit. I don't know how much you remember your factional warfare of Skrulls land, of Tamriel. But I remember when we first did that video, it was the assumption that they could continue the sort of, you know, in Skyrim you pick either Stormcloaks or Imperials, and then, like, that sort of dominates the way that the story plays out in the background, or in terms of, you know, the way the world changes kind of thing. And it's like, that's one of the most beloved parts of Skyrim, is that's something they could maybe, like, tap back into. So I wonder about that
stuff. Yeah, because it actually mentioned it in that quest when you go to Whiterun, you have the barmaid at the local keep, and it turns out that she's actually a Redguard fugitive, and then you have the Redguard agents come there, and she's like, oh, you got to help me, you got to help me. And then they actually tell you that she sold out Hammerfell to the Eldmeri Dominion. So there is a whole element there. Maybe you could either choose to side with the Eldmeri Dominion or potentially lead a resistance against them. That'd be a thing.
I think from something I read, or someone contrary to the website, either way, there was this whole piece about the Eldmeri Dominion and the Red Guards and how that had kind of played out, and how if we had a future game, there's this whole people called Akaviri who aren't in Tamriel, but they are still in Nirn. So, oh my god, something like
bring it.
They're like,
bring it on.
They're from, like, other isles, basically. So they're still in this planet, but they're not in the key area of Tamriel, which we've seen so far, which is played out in the Elder Scrolls Online. And the Akaviri coming over, which is all the weird tiger people and the monkeys and everything like that, all the people like animals. They could have a war, and it starts with Red Guards and Hammerfell and High Rock. And, like, basically it's about this invading force from whichever area it comes from.
From yonder.
So this invading force from yonder that the Red Guards then have to prove themselves and become the survivors again, and, like, they can overtake them, kill them off, like, be like, hey, no, this is Tamriel, stay away, in the way that the Old Mirror Dominion
Is there a defined way that has to play out based on the lore? We don't know yet.
It's just basically there's a tiny piece of lore in one of the temples where someone talks about the Akaviri and there being a sign that they could attack again. Because there's, like, and the whole piece of Skyrim is actually a build-up of one of the prophecies or something. I need to have the proper lore written down for all this.
Someone's written about Skrulls before.
Who needs lore when you have the Lusty Argodian Maid?
You brought up what's the Lusty Argodian Maid?
It's just Elder Scrolls smut. You don't want to go there. Josh Brown will educate you.
I've heard vague things about this maid.
On the topic of Hammerfell,
yes.
Because they're all, well, there are a lot of pirates there.
Yeah.
What about naval combat or sea combat?
Oh,
not in the case of hashtag Skull and Bones, but maybe, like, we get to, like, I would quite like the element of like vehicle gameplay, because we always have the horses, and you know they have that one generic animation where it's literally like horse girl
and Lego horse.
But I would quite like the idea of being able to hop in a boat and maybe go around and make it that it's not all fast travel, because we could at the end of Skyrim in the DLC for Dragonborn, you could actually ride around on dragons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even if it is kind of janky and buggy, I would really quite like the idea of like maybe if you wanted, obviously because no one has an assigned role in the Elder Scrolls universe, maybe if you wanted to be a pirate in Hammerfell, you get your own pirate ship and you can rob people and do all that sort of thing. But obviously that is asking a lot, and again the whole expansive thing. But if it, in theory, if there are multiple different realms at play, you should be able to
get back and forth between them. Yeah.
I think just literally because there's that expansive sea between Hammerfell and High Rock, you could literally just have like this like whole channel wars thing if you wanted, where like the boats could be in there and could do things in this really set piece of map. So it's not particularly, oh my god, you have all the sea to go through the monsters. Yeah. But literally this one little bit, that would be so cool.
Like, what I loved the teaser, because when the teaser first came out, you've got like the camera like panning down through like that middle channel that you've got Hammerfell on the left, High Rock on the right, and everyone's kind of like deciding one of the two. And if you know, it pans more to the left, so assuming it's going to be Hammerfell. But what if it is actually that entire expanse and you actually get both? And
it should
then that
be.
Could be a way to do it.
It should be, because we've had like Daggerfall, which has already been through basically both those places, more so High Rock, because it's that whole regenerating open world, like procedural generation. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah, it keeps coming.
Oh, yeah, Daggerfall's like the biggest one.
Yeah, well, it keeps coming no matter where you go. But this one, if it was actually like all designed, laid out properly, and was kind of revisiting the themes of Daggerfall whilst advancing them forward in like modern lore, as modern as you can get in medieval fantasy fiction, but that would be good. My train of thought has
They seem to tease like that general sort of area, and we've already discussed like some little lore things that they can pull.
I was going to say, I'm expanding on the lore, because I know a lot of people when they played Skyrim, they were a big fan of the College of Winterhold with all the magery stuff.
I love
and I'm correct me if I'm wrong, I think High Rock is the place where the Bretons are, and they're kind of synonymous with magic. So maybe we could have like some sort of like not Harry Potter-esque shenanigans, because you know, read a different book, hashtag 2019. But also maybe we could have some more magical bants in High Rock. It's High Rock, isn't
I'm pretty sure, but I think that there's also like an area of people who are less magically inclined. I think Red Gods. They're not.
They're in Hammerfell, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
2011 was so long ago. The College of Winterhold is like held up as one of the best sort of side strands kind of thing, and a lot of people even, because it makes me think of Harry Potter. I don't even like Harry Potter, but the College of Winterhold that always made me think of like, you know, the whole wizarding school, and you're getting used to mages and different spells, and that was a hell of a substantial amount of things. Like story
that and
to get
like the side quests in Skyrim are honestly one of the most like interesting narratives that they had. Both the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood one are really cool. Dark Brotherhood one terrified me, because you can actually encounter the jester in like the, so if you go along, you can see him and he's like, his carriage is broken down or something, and you can either choose to help him or turn him in. If you help him, you come back to that place later in the game. The family that are at that stead are all dead. But if you imprison him, he has a unique dialogue with you, where like when you actually join the Dark Brotherhood, be like, oh, you sold me out and stuff, and like love that kind of the idea of like there being so many different threads, and if they can work the Thieves Guild and the Old Merry Dominion, or maybe even new guilds and factions into this one, that'd be really cool.
Only
the Dark Brotherhood, damn it.
I do not want new guilds. I want it to be Thieves Guild, Dark Brotherhood, mages and Fighters Guild. That's it. That's all I need. And even the vampires and werewolves can come back and everything.
The Dawn God was so cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I think those four guilds are what makes Elder Scrolls. Completely. I think that's where the founding of this whole experience is in those four guilds, and like their lore and the way that they pan out and the way you can go back in time and see how they started. The Grey Fox, like all that sort of thing. Like, that's where it needs to stay with those. If a new one comes along, fair enough, but those need to stay there.
I guess you can do...
I
think you can do like potentially more with them as opposed to, you know, bringing more in, because I mean the whole factional side of open worlds is kind of the way that Bethesda have gone. Like in Fallout 4, you're picking between loads of different people, the Minutemen, the Brotherhood of Steel, or whatever, and that's in 76 as well. And so
this is again going back into my sad nerdery.
Do it.
I absolutely hated when I came across playthroughs online where people were playing as all the different guilds in one playthrough. It's like,
good,
that makes no sense. Why would someone who is a part of the companions then be a part of the Dark Brotherhood at the same time?
Literally.
And like, you literally walk around Skyrim, he's like, oh, I've got my eye on you, because he thinks you're a thief, and then also it's like, oh, you're here to help, are you? You're a companion. And it's like, that makes no sense. Just start a new playthrough
just to break
keep it
every
authentic
single thing that they've set up.
I did play as all of them, but just for the advantage of running around, like, oh, am I going to kill you? I'm going to help you. I don't know. like,
even that,
bananas.
Like, that's the thing, because it's like that level of, it's not necessarily jank, because it's, they, you know, they let you do it, but it's
jank is like, hashtag jank is
hold on, jank is not, that's not me, that's a giant bomb word.
It's just this podcast.
Overall jank. But that's the thing, if they took that away, like, you know, we're having so much fun talking about it, it's like, is that approach to playing something that it needs to stay? Like, I wonder how much they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
We can end on just general sort of what stuff you'd like to see, because what's the one thing you think would get you back in? Is it the region? Is it the combat?
Oh, I'm back in. I'm back in.
Yeah, but okay. I'm already in. Yeah. Like, the hook is there and I'm getting gummeled on.
We're
right
definitely
now.
In. It's really bad. But I guess for me, the main thing is the combat. I don't want them to do a Dark Souls, but I do want them to refine the animations style. I like how mainstream and accessible just flailing around with your big old great sword is. But I do think it needs more to it, like a more specific dodge roll and blocking and whatever. I hate that you have to unlock the dodge roll.
I have one thing that I definitely don't want to be in there, that is the presence of a voice actor for the main protagonist. Ooh, I really thought that in Fallout 4, when you were given an assigned voice and an assigned story, that completely ruined the whole appeal of these games is to go in and do your own thing and get lost in it. If I'm assigned a character and like, fair enough, have your main quest, have your big overarching save the world story, that's fine. Just don't force me to play it and don't force me to embody a voice that isn't mine. So
no, you make that's a phenomenal point, because that was one of the most hated things about Fallout 4 was that you, I mean, even on the dialogue side, you just had the word sarcasm or whatever, and it was
that whole thing
and then one of the first mods for that game was typing out what the responses were going to be, so you knew what you were going to say. They tried to inject, again, Mass Effect 3 did as well. It was like, let's give Commander Shepard a bit of a backstory and he's all sad about a dead child or whatever. And I was like, if you're playing my Commander Shepard as a complete monster, I ain't going to care about some dead child. I'm going to kill more children and carry on and fight the Reapers. And
what about the younglings?
What about the younglings is my point. And so I think if the more you kind of try and inject some story into it, the more it fundamentally breaks what the genre can offer. So that's a hell of a thing. And hopefully they've learned, considering the backlash to 4, to never do that again. Ash, what would you like to see?
I would really like to see personally, I'd like to see more of the actual homelands of the races we've got in there, but I don't think that's going to happen because we do get that in Elder Scrolls Online. I'd also like to see, again, different races that we haven't seen before, encountered before.
The monkey people.
The tiger serpent people. Even if it's just the Dwemer from, like, Underground.
Yes.
That would be wonderful, because that's been seeded so hard in this, like, world.
I liked all the names they have. The Altmer, the Dwemer.
They're so cool.
The Dwemer. The Bosmer.
Yeah.
What's what's the place when you go underground in Skyrim and the whole clockwork
city? That's the Dwemer.
Because I'm sure when you read about them, it was that, like, you know, they had this kind of prosperous place or whatever, and then something happened.
It's
that
a big mystery, is the thing. Like, it's like they've all disappeared and they've left all these animatronics and
like steam powered
automatons. Things. I was trying to say, I just went full, like,
no one should randomly bust out the word automatons unless they're completely prepared to say such things. But I think that, I mean, there's enough even there to be like, you can kind of pick and prod at it.
I want that. I also want, because we were talking about factions, I also really would like factions to be interwoven with the main storyline, and you pick like a faction that ends up being the overarching conclusion to the story.
One of the best mods for the Definitive Edition of Skyrim is, I forget what it's called, but it lets you start as one of like 10 different characters.
Yeah,
so you
can like just
start.
Mod.
You can start as like a barman, or you can just start.
Oh, so you can literally do my sad thing, but it's actually got the sad stuff laid out for you.
Brilliant. It's kind of like how
to make your own.
It's
great. And like, loads of people wrote loads of new dialogue for it. You've got to play on Xbox One because the PS4 doesn't support external assets. But if you play on Xbox One version, you can do all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just make the role playing elements more role play, and then everyone loves the mythos as it is. It's probably one of the greatest gaming like worlds to inhabit.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, just let them do more of that. And we will love it.
I wonder, I wonder how much if they ditch a main story, like you had all the stuff with Parthenax and the Greybeards and everything, if you ditch that and we all just leap in, we get to pick whatever we start as and we all get our own story and there is no main story.
Ooh,
that would be...
Risky.
That would be cool, though.
No, I think there should be a main story, but then you use the factions to further it. So, if you're like a big assassin, then you've got to go and assassinate someone, or if you're the companion, you've got to go and fight.
Right.
Like, the big overarching enemy, you've got to fight them, you've got to do this, you go to that, and then lay out... It's taking so long. There is so many years that I'm expecting something fantastic and interwoven and narratively compelling, especially if they're using the same creation system. I want to see a narrative that's going to blow my socks off.
No!
On the audio side, Ash's mic has fallen apart.
Oh, no.
Yet again, hold it in place. It's fine because it's the end of the podcast anyway. Oh my God, you got to fix it.
Major skill.
For now. Hey. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments. Are you looking forward to Elder Scrolls 6? And how do you think it's going to go based on the fact that they're still using the goddamn creation engine?
Goddamn.
But for now, this is all the things that we know. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Bazin.
Bye-bye.
And Ash Millman.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.